In a world full of anger, strife, and plagues, a constant struggle is battled out between good and evil, right and wrong. And for over 7 years, the IndieCast is here to try to make you forget all of that. With interviews, pop culture talk, and the best in sexual innuendo. So sit back and relax as Chad, Zach, and Luna welcome you to the IndieCast, exclusively on the Wrestling Nerds Radio Network.
Greetings, everybody. Welcome once again to the IndieCast. Chad Allen here with another Barbara Walters episode special. Thankfully, I do have a guest. It won't just be me for an hour flapping my gum. The good news is we have a great guest, somebody that was definitely on my wish list for guests. For those of you who may have seen on Twitter a while ago when I was putting out a plea, she was nice enough to agree to be on the episode with us. Ladies and gentlemen, I have the Lady of Rock and Roll herself, Avery Taylor, is on with us. Avery, welcome to the IndieCast.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited. Finally.
I know. I agree. Finally. That's definitely true. So, well, I don't know if you've listened to the show before, but we always start every episode with five questions we like to call the lightning round, used mostly to get rid of those really dumb podcast questions you get asked probably every time. And then usually we immediately fall off the rails within about question three.
All right, let's do it.
Question one is the one that, like I said, the one we use this for. Who trained you and when did you debut?
I trained at the WWN training school, Matt Sydal. I also trained a little bit with Jay Lethal. And then we just had people coming in and out of the school a lot. I debuted 4 years ago, so 2016.
Yeah. And I just saw you had put up on Twitter recently. You just hit your 4 year anniversary. So congratulations.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
What is your first wrestling memory?
Ooh, my first wrestling memory. Going to Madison Square Garden to see Monday Night Raw with my brother and my dad. I was like six.
Very nice. Man, when your first wrestling memory is the garden,
it's special.
That's
I know.
Thing to have. So, question three, when we get through this horrible COVID situation, what's the first concert you'd like to go see?
Oh, that's a great question. I was supposed to see Guns N' Roses and that got canceled, so I'm going to go with Guns N' Roses.
Good call. Question number four, you put up recently on Twitter that pizza is life. Do you believe in pineapple on pizza or no?
I do. I love pineapple on pizza. I'm not even going to lie. That's not very Italian of me, but I really do love it.
It's delicious. It doesn't matter. Italian, whatever. Yeah. Doesn't matter.
Little it's sweet good. Spot. I like it.
Final question we always ask in the lightning round, Marvel or DC and why?
Ooh, you know, okay. You're going to make fun of me. I really have not seen, like, I can't even answer that question because I don't even watch that kind of stuff.
Really?
Yeah. It's hard for me to sit through a movie because I'm so fidgety. So okay. It has to be something like spectacular. I don't know. I've never seen them really.
Really? Okay.
I get made fun of that all the time.
Well, we will have to get you a couple. Well, then again, if you get made fun of it for all the time, people have already given you 8 billion recommendations. So
yeah. But I'm behind.
That's okay. Well, if you definitely need the nerd aspect of it, let me know after the show.
I can okay. You can give me your notes.
Get it from a real nerd. That's right. It's the Wrestling Nerds Radio Network. So, I did notice that's the end of the lightning round. By the way, I did notice as I was going through your Twitter, there's a lot of food tweets. Obviously you being Italian and being from the New York, New Jersey area. What is your favorite meal?
My favorite meal is pasta. I love some good pasta.
Now, do you cook at home? Have you ever made your own pasta? I know that's obviously can be a big thing, or is it just like straight out of the box Barilla?
I actually made pasta for dinner like 2 hours ago. So I cook my own pasta. It's pretty much the only thing I can make is pasta.
Okay. Now, actually, I kind of want to go back, since we're on the food thing, I want to go back to the pizza question a little bit from here, because again, you are from my neck of the woods. I'm from upstate New York originally, so I'm more Buffalo wings. But
okay.
For you, where is your kind of to go pizza place when you're back home?
I'm from the area of West Milford, New Jersey. It's like the middle of the woods, middle of nowhere.
Okay.
Yeah, there's this mom and pop owned restaurant that I worked for many years. It's called DeMarco's Pizza. They okay. also have, they have a few restaurants, but their food is so good. It's always my go-to.
And what's your go-to? So you're home, you're in the woods of New Jersey, much like the woods of my farm country of upstate New York. What's your pizza go-to when you get to get DeMarco's?
Penne alla vodka pizza. It mixes okay. my two favorite things together.
Penne and vodka?
Yeah, pasta, vodka, and pizza. It's the best. Sure.
So is vodka the alcohol of choice? What's your drink of choice then when you're sitting down to have a cocktail?
You're gonna make fun of me because it's not very rock star, but I'm currently addicted to White Claws. They're fruity and delicious, and they're half the calories. So I can't deny them. They're so good.
I will be honest. I never make fun of a person's drink, and I'm very much a believer of there's no such thing as a girl drink or whatever people say. Drink whatever the hell you want. And actually, I did kind of figure that might be your answer to that question because I did have the notice of here of what is your favorite White Claw flavor? What's the one you're drinking the most of now?
I really like watermelon. I like mango and probably lime. Those are my three go-tos.
Okay. So watermelon should be the one that because I haven't tried those yet. I will be honest. I tend to go more. I've always been more of like a Mike's Hard Lemonade is always the ones that I've been still kind of oddly into.
Okay.
I should try the watermelon one first then if I were to give them a shot.
Yeah, I say watermelon. I feel like a lot of people would probably not agree with me, but I personally like the watermelon.
Well, I'm gonna, like I said, I'm going to call you the expert on this one for now because I've never had one in my life. So if you're saying watermelon, I got to give it a shot. Just to see.
Yeah, they're pretty good. Well, I feel like if you like Mike's, you're going to like these.
Okay. And, but yeah, like I said, you can send me my White Claw notes and I'll send you Marvel movie notes on like which Thor movie you should skip later.
Perfect. We'll trade notes.
There we go. Another tweet that kind of caught my eye as I was doing my research on you here was you had recently been on a roller coaster and apparently almost passed out. Now I now do a web show about theme park rides and the like. So I got to hear the story exactly. What coaster was this? Why did what happened? Did you just not eat that day? Tell me
a little. So I had never been to Universal before. So I went into it blind. I literally had no idea what any of these rides were. I had no idea what to expect. We decided to go on the Rip Ride roller coaster. That's like that real tall one. They blast the music in your ears. So I'm terrified of heights. I'm terrified of roller coasters. And the mental preparation going onto a roller coaster is the worst part for me. So I went on there. I was friggin' petrified. I couldn't even open my eyes. My head was banging all over the place. I was screaming. And once we hit this turn, I literally almost passed out. And we went on it a second time. And at the exact same moment, I almost passed out again. It was the craziest thing I've ever experienced.
Okay, so I have to back up a little bit because I was just at Universal. Some of the videos I just shot from my show were at Universal Studios, and I did go by that particular ride. First off, you don't like roller coasters. Now that coaster you can see from basically every portion of that park. You just look up and you can see that coaster. What type of bribery or blackmail does somebody have on you to get you to even get on that the first time? And then follow-up question right now, what then made you go, I'm going to get on that again?
Well, usually I like the ride after it's over. It's just the preparation of not knowing what I'm about to go through that is the worst part for me. So going on a second time was no biggie because I already knew that, you know, what to expect. But basically, I was with my boyfriend. He wouldn't take no for an answer, so I had no choice but to go on the ride with him.
Okay. So, yeah, next time, we'll briefly talk about your boyfriend in a little bit because I definitely have a question kind of about him in a moment. Tell him he can go on by himself next time. Don't put yourself through that.
Yeah, he was laughing at me the entire time.
that I believe, and since I do know who your boyfriend is, that actually doesn't surprise me all that much.
Yeah, I know.
So that was your first time at Universal?
Yes.
So tell me about kind of your overall thoughts. What ride, other than that ride, what was kind of your favorite ride in that park?
So we only did the one park. Favorite ride was definitely the Mummy ride, because I thought it was like a slow-moving, you know, movie ride type thing. And then all of a sudden you get shot into the darkness on this crazy roller coaster. So that was really fun. I was definitely not expecting that. But, you know, the Fast and the Furious ride, I did not like at all. And I was very upset at that ride.
Do you like the movie series, Fast and the Furious? Were you kind of excited about it before going on? Okay.
I've seen them all before. You know, they're not my favorite movie, but I've seen them. But it was like there was so much preparation for like 10 seconds of Vin Diesel flying in a helicopter.
Right.
You know, and you're on like a bus. And my thought process, if the movie is about fast cars, why aren't I in a fast car? Why am I in this slow moving bus?
Exactly. Yes. That is possibly you. I'm going to have you as a guest on my other show at some point, because, yeah, that's absolutely the worst ride known to mankind. I was very much disappointed in it myself. So, 100% agree with you on that one. Did you get to go through Diagon Alley and the Harry Potter area at all?
Yes, I did. It was super fun. When you're walking through the bank, it's so real, like it's so realistic. It's insane. It was freaking me out almost.
So now, were you a big Harry Potter fan before getting onto this? Okay,
yes,
good.
I love the Harry Potter series.
Okay. So, of the Harry Potter series, then what's your favorite movie of the series?
Honestly, I like the first one the best, just because it's like the introduction to everything. It's like so pure. That I don't know. I've always liked that one the best.
Sure. And then, have you? Are you a reader at all? Did you read any of the books, or is it just the movies for you?
I got through the first two books in high school, and I never went past that. I probably should read them. I would like to read them.
In high school, oh my god, you have to pardon me. I graduated, this came up in something else. I graduated high school in 1994, so the fact that the books were out while you were in high school is, I feel old right now.
Don't feel old,
that's okay. Any other parts of Universal that kind of jumped out at you while you were there?
The Simpsons ride made me very dizzy, that ride was crazy. You weren't really doing anything in the ride, but I feel like I was like spinning the whole time.
Right.
Have you been on the ride? You know what I'm talking about?
I have. I've only heard about it. That is actually one of the rides I, for some reason, keep missing, because I have a 5-year-old and a 10-year-old who have never seen The Simpsons before. So gotcha. they have no interest in it whatsoever. So I usually just walk past them. But now are you planning on going back sometime to do Islands of Adventure then?
Yeah, we actually got like a buy one, get one day free pass. Okay. So we have tickets to go back again.
Okay, very nice. So you'll have to come back and review for me when you go to the other park and let me know how it goes. So now another thing that I did note here, and kind of speaking of your boyfriend, I don't think it's a surprise you're dating one Troy Hollywood. The man, the shit, the legend. He had put up very recently about pranking people. And you had mentioned, kind of commented on there that if you get pranked by Troy one more time, he's going to be a goner. So what type of pranks is one Troy Hollywood playing? I'm interested to know where his mind goes when it comes to pranks.
He's the worst. It's literally been every single day for the last like week and a half. At some point, he pranks me. And I should know it's coming by now, but he still gets me every time. Let's see. Well, yesterday he told me that the battery in the car was dead and he was stranded, and I had to get in an Uber and come pick him up. So I'm sleeping and I get ready to go get in this random Uber that he called for me to come get him. And he's sitting outside the apartment, just pranking me, of course. He waits for me to get out of the shower and he pops out and scares me. One time he hid in the back of my closet and grabbed me. I mean, really, the list goes on and on and on.
Why? Now, are you the only person that's being subject to this? I mean, obviously, you see him a lot more than anybody else, I'm sure. So I'm sure you probably are. But do other people get Mr. Hollywood's wrath, or does it just seem to be you because you're the one that's right there with him every day?
I've never seen him prank anybody else, so I guess I'm the lucky one in this situation.
I guess that's maybe the way he says I love you. If it turns into something crazy, you'll really have to delve into this deeper thing.
So. He's gonna give me a heart attack one of these days, I swear.
Well, yeah, please tell him not to do that. let me go back a little bit on music, since obviously you are the lady of rock and rumble. What is the best live concert you've ever seen?
I saw Axl Rose with AC/DC once, and that was life-changing. It was insane.
Now, was Axl announced? Was it like a guest role? Oh, was that when the lead singer went down? Was that when the lead singer went down for a little bit?
When they needed a replacement, he decided to do the tour. The original date was actually canceled, and then they rescheduled it with him as the lead singer. So that it was so crazy. He was so good, and I was like 10th row, right on the floor. There was fireworks. It was friggin' wild.
Now, and Axl does okay doing the, because his voice is so much different than. I keep wanting to say Angus, but I know that's their guitar player, and it's going to bug me until I can remember AC/DC's lead singer name.
You're putting me on the spot, so I'm going to have to get back to you on that.
No, that's okay. But tell me, so did Axl do okay with with those AC/DC? Because they have such a different voice. I mean, the AC/DC lead singer is such a gravel voice, and I don't always picture that with Axl. So.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a little bit different. It was more set to his voice, you know, but he killed it. It was really good. Yeah.
What was the best song that he did from the concert? By the way, Brian Johnson is the lead singer of AC/DC.
Yes,
it was
there.
Makes me crazy until I looked it up.
So, you just Google it. You Googled it.
I did. My Google foo was strong. So.
The best song, Whole Lotta Rosie. That song is so good live. That's my favorite song live, no matter who's singing it. That's always my favorite song live.
Now, actually, and interesting that we mentioned the replacement of singers. This was something else I had here. Is it worth it to have a band replace a singer, or should they stop? And some of the options, examples I had here was AC/DC when Bon Scott died. Mm-hmm. Queen, obviously, when Freddie passed, Black Sabbath, when Ozzy left and they replaced him with Ronnie James Dio. Do you think more of these bands could try to continue on, or is it best just to let the history be what it is?
I mean, it depends on the singer that they get. Like, when they replaced Ozzy for Black Sabbath, the band was not good. I was not about it. But I think when they replaced AC/DC with Brian Johnson, I think that worked. I loved Brian Johnson. Queen, now they have like Adam Lambert, I think, is the lead singer. The voice fits, but I just think it's a weird... I mean, it works, but it's just weird because it's Adam Lambert, you know? Right. I'm used to seeing him on American Idol.
But the funny part is, on Idol, he did play with Queen at one point of time. That was actually one of the final episodes with him with Queen. So it looks like they'd been kind of teasing that for a lot longer than I think anybody could have expected. So.
Yeah, that's true, actually. But yeah, I mean, I think it just depends on the lead singer. I think sometimes it works, and sometimes it's just maybe you should have left that alone.
Other than Ozzy leaving Sabbath, was there a band who maybe replaced a singer that you're like, shouldn't have done that?
I mean, I don't know. Not off the top of my head. I'd have to really think about that. I think even like with guitar players, like if someone leaves the band, like you have to just find the right person. like a rat. When they replaced their lead singer, I did not like the person that they replaced their lead singer with. It was like this young kid, and he was just really awkward, and I don't think he fit the part at all.
Do you like the fact that Rad is doing Geico commercials now?
Yes, that commercial makes me laugh every time it's on. It's so clever.
That's a wonderful song, too. People forget how good that one song was. I can't name another Rat song to save my life, but you probably can just by your reaction. So what are some other Rat songs I should be listening to? I will go listen to Rat later.
Yeah, you got Lay It Down, you got Right Round, you know, there's a few of them. I feel like if you heard them, you would actually know them. You just don't realize it. Yeah.
Okay.
They play them on the radio.
It's kind of that 80s, 90s hair metal kind of that's definitely your scene, it sounds like, especially if you're able to like throw other Rat songs out there. Do you ever branch out and like, you know, I'm going to listen to this country song one day, or is Troy Hollywood, you know, ingratiating you into like the rap scene now? Because he's into what are some of the things that they're outside of your kind of normal comfort zone that you're listening to now and going, that's not that bad?
You know, I always listened to like rap and hip hop when I was growing up. And then really like in my 20s, I lost it and I stopped listening to it for a while. And it was really only rock and roll that I was listening to. But yeah, Troy definitely makes me listen to rap again. So I know everything that's out there now.
There we go.
Yeah, I listen to a little bit of everything.
Is there one particular artist that maybe he's introduced you to that you're like that's one you kind of want to mention?
Yeah, he got me listening to Travis Scott, and I feel like Travis Scott is always a mood. Like his songs always put me in some weird mood. So okay. I do like him. Yeah.
Very interesting. One other thing on your Twitter. If you don't like cats, I just can't trust you. what is it about non-cat people that destroys your trust?
Because, you know, cats, they make you earn their trust and earn their love. So if you don't like cats, that probably means that every time you've been around a cat, the cat didn't like you and shunned you. So that makes me question you. Like, why doesn't that cat like you? You know,
see, well, the funny part is, so cats don't seem to like anybody though. It's like when you lose a dog's trust, though, that's when I really start to stare at people. And I'm more of a cat person anyway, but like dogs like immediately love everybody. So that's always one of those things where if you've scared a dog away, it's like, really, what happened?
Right. Yeah, I don't know. Cats are just, they're so cute and innocent, and I don't know, I love cats. And I've literally never met a cat that didn't like me before.
Do you have cats now?
Yes, I have two.
What are the cats' names?
One is Benny. He's 5, almost 6. I got him when he was 8 weeks old, so he's my baby. And then in January, we actually just rescued another cat from the shelter. He's like 1.5, and his name is Bear. And he's super fat, but he's really cute.
So, what are the names in reference to? Are they referencing anything in particular, or just happen to like Benny and Bear when you were looking at them?
Well, my mom actually named Benny. She thought that was a good name for him. So I was like, okay, whatever, it's Benny. And then we named Bear that because he looks like a little baby bear cub, like a black bear. And he has like little black bear paws. So his name is Bear.
Okay. So, and now to shift a lot on this one here. Obviously, fairly recently on wrestling Twitter, things got very interesting, shall we say, due to the Speak Up movement.
Yes.
What were your thoughts on kind of what happened when that came out? How did you feel about that overall movement as it was happening?
It was shocking. It was shocking, but it wasn't shocking because I knew a lot of the stuff that was going on. I've seen it happen in locker rooms before. So it was really just a boiling point. Eventually, it was all going to come out, and it took us not being with each other for long periods of time to, I guess, come out about everything. But some of the stories I definitely didn't know about, and it was shocking to be in a locker room with some of these people, and you're thinking that they're really nice and everything's cool, when behind the scenes, it's not, you know, it's a totally different picture that you're painting than when you are in a locker room. So it's scary. I hope a lot of these people don't come back to wrestling, because we don't need that negativity.
And thank you for kind of helping me in my follow-up question. Do you think that wrestling will be able to police its locker rooms well enough now, based off of all of this, to keep a lot of those people out? Or is it kind of maybe the concern is because of COVID, since nobody's really running shows all that much, or are running very few shows, that it might be like, whoopsie, we forgot about that when we're finally able to start doing live shows again?
I mean, I think certain people definitely canceled themselves permanently, like the whole Joey Ryan situation. Like, I don't think there's any coming back from that at that point. But I'm sure once enough time goes by, a lot of these people will find themselves back in a locker room. You know, when you've made so many connections, some people are going to believe you versus the other person. At that point, right, you have to pick sides. So I'm sure some of these people will end up in a locker room again. But hopefully they don't get away with the things that they were getting away with before. And they can take the positive side out of the movement, you know, and stop any of the BS.
You kind of mentioned Joey Ryan in there. Did you see the Joey Ryan manifesto, I think is the best way. I mean, it's an hour of him talking. I doubt you probably logged the whole hour. I could be wrong. Maybe you did.
Definitely didn't. I watched like 2 minutes of it.
I think we got through about the same amount of time on that one. But did you read the recap of kind of what he said? What were your thoughts on his video that he had recorded, for what little bit of it you saw?
I mean, I feel like at that point you probably should just stop talking. You've said and done enough, and there's way too much evidence. There's too many people involved. You just shouldn't have said anything else. You're just making yourself look worse at that point. Because you're just, you know, coming up with excuses, but you're also admitting to some of it, but then there's an excuse behind it. So it just doesn't even make sense.
Right. Very interesting. Another person that had some stories come out about him when all this was Mike Quackenbush from Chikara. Did you get to see any of his video that he had put out?
I didn't. I actually didn't even see a lot of the incident that happened with him.
I'll be very interested one day to hear kind of your thoughts on that video. I'll send it to you later on so you can definitely take a look at it. It's an interesting one where it's, He basically takes responsibility for everything that happened, which I thought was very different than Joey Ryan's, who was like, well, let me tell you why that's bullshit. I'm like, well, right. No, you know, so.
Yeah, honest, when all that was going on, I wasn't even logging onto social media anymore. I took like a 2-week break. I didn't even want to be a part of it. You know, it was too much to handle.
Yeah, it was definitely becoming a lot after a while. You're definitely not wrong on that. So. The other big kind of independent news for wrestling that came out recently, and I know one that it's probably obviously going to kind of hold dear to your heart in this situation, in a very obviously bitter type, well, maybe not bitter, maybe bittersweet, was the sale of Evolve to WWE. I don't know how much you're able to say about that, but what were your thoughts about the situation with Evolve?
It's definitely more bitter than sweet for me. We didn't really know what was going on. There were a lot of rumors, but nobody was confirming anything because nothing had been done, so you can't really speak on it. So the waiting process of knowing what was going on was not fun. And then we were told that, you know, WWE bought it out, but the contracts don't transfer. So pretty much I was a free agent all over again, and that kind of sucks because I had finally gotten the contract that I was working so hard for. Sure. But, you know, it's okay. It's a new beginning. I guess it just wasn't meant to be on my end. So, but it definitely opened the door to new possibilities. I met a lot of great people from it. And I made a lot of inroads with where I want to go in the future. So I can't really say anything negative on it.
Okay. Now, Evolve was part of a group with other companies. I do know that, like, Full Impact Pro FIP was part of that. And I do know for a while that they were doing Shine. I hadn't heard too much from Shine recently. Do you know if any of those companies are still going to continue on? And do you think you might still work with those companies if they do decide to restart once all this COVID mess is over with?
I have heard that they were going to start running again. I haven't been told in confirmation that, but I've heard that there is a plan rolling to get all those companies going again. And yeah, I would love to work with them. So they were nothing but good to me up until this point. They never did me wrong. They always had my back and I always enjoyed working for them. So I would love to be on the shows again if they come back around.
Okay, fair enough. And is there any companies that you haven't worked with yet that you kind of have your eye on? That, I mean, other than obviously AEW and WWE and NXT, is there any other independent companies out there that you've kind of had your eye on that you'd like to put it out in the world to that you'd like to work with that you maybe haven't had a chance to yet?
Yeah, I'd love to work for Game Changer Wrestling. They just had a show in Atlantic City. That's a show that I've always wanted to be on. And Shimmer, too. I've actually never been on Shimmer. So that's definitely on my bucket list.
Okay. I could definitely see you on a Shimmer show. I'm like you said, yeah, there's definitely a good one to put out there in the world then. So
yeah.
For every episode, we have three kind of main questions that we use to kind of wrap up everything here. Question one is officially called the Trevin Adams Memorial Question. Speaking of WWN, even though Trevin is not dead. Hi, Trevi, if you're listening.
Hey, Trevin.
So the Trevin Adams Memorial Question is the following. You obviously have done the drives. It is late at night. You are suddenly very hungry. It's, you know, very late, and you come over a hill. Possibly in some sort of Uber that Troy Hollywood has tricked you into, and you see a shining beacon of light there. That shining beacon of light, is that a sheet or is that a Wawa?
Oh, a Wawa for sure.
Okay. Well, that's
love me some Wawa.
So what's your go-to order at Wawa? You're going to make my co-host very happy, but I'm a little sick.
That's okay. I get the combo. I get a little sandwich and I get a side of mac and cheese. That's my go-to.
Okay. Now, have you been to a Sheetz before?
No, actually.
Okay. All right. Well, then I feel a little better about that one. Yeah. Next time you get a chance to, they're more up north, but there's definitely a big Sheetz and Wawa like feud going on. And if you ever get a chance to get to a Sheetz, stop in and then we'll have to re-review. Because
all right.
I think the way to go.
That's such a funny name. Sheetz.
Right? Yeah, I've never understood. I would have to look up the reasoning behind it one day. Not that Wawa is exactly a super serious name either, though. But
definitely.
Now, question two. This one's a little bit of the darker question of the three. Obviously, in this performance art we call professional wrestling, we lose a lot of talent early. So if there is someone that you could work with who is no longer with us, who would that wrestler be and why?
That's a good question. I'm going to say Chyna.
Okay.
Because she's just such a powerhouse, and I feel like I get thrown around a lot anyway, so I think it'd be a good mix.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be fun. I would definitely like to work Chyna.
Definitely. Good answer on that one. So, and the final question is the one we're kind of know for. Please sit down if you're not sitting already. So we here at the IndyCast believe that all animals in nature have certain traits that assist with their survival. Giraffes have the long necks. Rhinos have big horns, et cetera, et cetera. We believe that the human's trait is the ability to use tools. So, with that being said, the First Lady of Rock and Rumble, Avery Taylor. If you could fight any animal, what animal would it be and what weapon would you use?
Oh, God. It did get dark. What animal would I fight? Jeez. What do people usually say?
Oh, my goodness. So we have had also, let me think of some of them. John Davis, when he was on, said he, I believe, said he would fight a bear with his bare hands. We all bet on him, by the way.
Yeah.
We've had Sue Young on before, and she fought like a dragon with a some sort of video game sword. Formerly of Chikara, said he would fight a kitten with a tack hammer because he always puts himself over to win. So we've had quite the range of answers to this question. So you do not feel hindered by reality or anything like that.
Jeez, all right. I'm gonna fight a shark. We're gonna go big or go home. I'm gonna say shark. Yes. And I'm gonna use a classic bat.
Okay.
I think that would get the job done. They say you could punch it in the nose, so why not use a bat?
Wooden or metal?
Ooh. I think wooden. No, maybe metal. Maybe metal.
Go in the metal, kind of the metal softball bat? Okay.
Yeah, I think that would work better.
Now, very interesting. Let me also ask, because, again, you're from kind of my area of the woods there. Do you have a particular baseball team you're a fan of?
Go Yankees.
That's the one and only correct answer. Okay, yes. So Avery, this is the part in the episode that one Mr. Brian Cage has officially given us permission to call Get Your Shit In. So if you could please let people know where they can find your social media, where they can buy your merchandise, et cetera, et cetera. The floor is yours.
All right. So you can find me on Twitter at The Avery Taylor. You can find me on Facebook at The Avery Taylor. Instagram is Avery, A-V-E-R-Y-Y _ Taylor. And you can find all my latest merch on the fabulous fullygimmick.com.
Very nice. Yeah, I did see the new shirt that just went up recently. Very cool shirt. So you should, everybody, you should go look that one up and go buy it right now. Buy two, actually. Give one as a gift. Keep one for yourself. Avery, once again, thank you for joining us here on the IndyCast. And for all of the wrestling nerds out there that are listening right now, we thank you, as always, for listening to the Wrestling Nerds Radio Network. So until next time, everybody, I am always Chad Allen, and we always say deuces.
Hope I don't poop today.
Hercules Mulligan.
I'm ready to greet the day, you fucker.
Every single one of you guys has made a horrible decision.
It's that dirty-ass Meryl Streep.
We're touching wieners. Touching wieners professionally.
Ric Flair said fuck a six-pack, and he never lost an ounce of pussy.
What I am is a big, queer, Stone Cold Steve Austin.